1, 2, 3. Welcome to Encore Nutrition, 2 Ps in a podcast, a show that simplifies the overwhelming world of health and nutrition with evidence-based science.
We're Elise and Lauren, your accredited practicing dietitians, empowering you with the knowledge and strategies to make real change today.
If you're going stir crazy at home during isolation, then this episode is for you.
We're bringing you our top tips to keep your eating habits in check.
So we're going to start off this episode with some bittersweet news, really. We are sadly losing our co-host and third P, Drew, who has been so incredibly pivotal, not just in producing this podcast, but in progressing our business, in coaching, mentoring, hand-holding, and helping us to remain really focused on where Encore is going. But the reason that he's leaving us is truly very, very exciting.
So Drew's beautiful wife, Liz, is pregnant and will be giving birth in the next couple of months. So they're going to be parents for the very first time, which is so, so exciting. And we will be sure to update you guys on Liz and Drew's exciting news once their little bundle of joy arrives.
Yeah, we can't wait. And we just want to share our gratitude for Drew with you all. We're so grateful for all he's done for us.
And we know that you guys have all loved listening to him and not having to hear our voices 24/7. So we hope that you can tolerate this well.
And look, on to this episode, what we're wanting to focus on today is some of the challenges that I think a lot of us are going through at the moment with the COVID-19 crisis and the fact that how homes have become far more than just our living space. They're our office, our cafe, our gyms, our havens, everything.
Literally
in between.
Everything.
And a lot of people we know are living on top of each other and spending a lot of time in their homes in those four walls. And it can be really, really tricky to establish routine with everything in this sort of scenario, especially with our meals. And so we're here to try and help you to nurture your body and your mind as much as you can throughout this time, and how to establish a bit of routine and structure when it comes to eating and keeping well in the current times.
Because we know change can have such a profound impact on our mental health, and often we can be really thrown when our working environment, our living environment, our exercise environment changes.
Yeah. And so we've got a few tips for you. And the first one is probably easier said than done, but we've got a few scenarios and bits of advice along the way for you. And number one is to keep a routine and to try wherever you can to stick to a schedule. So if you're working from home and you would normally have had your lunch break with your colleagues at 12:30, try to do the same and try to be quite strict about it. Factor in tea and snack breaks as well. So get up and go and make yourself a snack or a cup of tea. Break up your day as much as you can. Don't forget to drink. If you're anything like, I've been struggling at home. I'm just not drinking any water. And I think that's because I'm not at my desk with my drink bottle. Yeah. So set yourself up in your home office space as you would in your office space.
Another really great part that can be added to that routine is get up, get dressed. You need to put your makeup on.
Yeah.
Get ready for a day of work, because it's amazing when you actually get dressed for work how much more productive you are rather than sitting in your pajamas or your tracksuit, which can be really tempting at times.
Definitely. It's that mindset thing, isn't it? I remember once I was overseas in the middle of the Bolivian desert and I had a phone interview for a job and it was midnight at night, and I did exactly that. I had a shower, got dressed into sort of the most corporate attire
that you had in Bolivia.
I could rummage and put myself into a mindset that was professional.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing what your physical can do to your mental.
Totally. And it really changes that mindset.
Yeah. And I guess similarly is where you position yourself when you're working. And not everyone is privileged and fortunate enough to have a home office space or somewhere
I can attest to that.
Poor Elise and Matt are
one's in the spare room, one's in the kitchen.
Fighting for the table space at the moment. But one piece of advice I have for you is, wherever possible, position yourself as far away from the kitchen as possible.
And can I tell you, I can sympathize for all the people out there that are working in the kitchen. It's really bloody hard because you're constantly surrounded by food. Like the fridge, pantry's right behind you.
The carrot is dangled all day long. And I had a client today who was had a very similar scenario to this working from home space, in that one of his challenges that he's had for a long time is he snacks overnight.
Oh, wow.
So he wakes up 2, 3 a.m. and he takes himself to the kitchen and he eats. And he knows it's a terrible habit, and we're working together on breaking that. But he's actually been in his holiday house in a different location in Red Hill, and where at home he's normally got stairs to go down the stairs to the kitchen. Oh, wow. No stairs in Red Hill.
So much easier.
And so he's like, my midnight snacking is skyrocketed because it's too easy. So position yourself in a way that things are more challenging and you might find yourself less engaged with the fridge across the day.
Yeah. And that's a really nice segue into our next tip, which is just checking in with yourself. And there are so many reasons why we eat beyond just hunger and nutrients. Have a think about why you might be heading to the cupboard or the fridge. Are you bored? Are you procrastinating? Are you stressed? Are you feeling a little bit overwhelmed? Are you missing your colleagues? There might be many reasons why you find yourself hovering around the fridge.
I know I find myself when there's a task that feels really hard, I just need something to get
through
it.
To get you through.
Yeah, and it's very much a mental connection that it kind of softens the burden or helps me to distract myself from it, which is something I'm very much working on.
And it's so human nature. So many of us do that. It's so much easier to go down to the kitchen and suppress or deal with your emotions through food rather than actually trying to tackle that task at hand.
Mm. And I tell you, you feel a lot better when you actually finish the task rather than
so much better.
Finish the Tim Tam.
Mm. So much better. So have a think about your hunger and fullness scale. So think about, you know, are you feeling really hungry? Are you maybe sitting at a number one versus are you feeling really full at 10? And where do you sit on that scale? If you're sitting at a 5 and you're pretty satisfied, but you find yourself wandering around the kitchen again, maybe that should be a little prompt to make a cup of tea and sit back down.
Mm. And also think about delayed gratification too. If you're a 5 and you really want that snack or whatever it is you're going for, could you postpone it and have it later and know that future Lauren gets that delicious food and I don't have to have it now. Yep. Later is an option. It's interesting, the hunger fullness scale too. Anyone out there who's tried intermittent fasting might have a bit more of an appreciation for what a 1 feels like too.
It's hard.
I've seen you at a 1.
I'm not pretty at a 1.
You're not pretty at a 1. 12 p.m. on a fasting day. God.
Probably why I don't really fast.
But we've spoken about intermittent fasting on previous episodes, and one of the biggest benefits of it, I feel, is appreciation of what true hunger feels like.
Yeah, well, it teaches you what it feels like to be hungry. So many people, you know, the first thing they do when they get up in the morning at 6 o'clock is have breakfast because that's their usual routine. And often when I ask my clients, do you actually feel hungry first thing in the morning, they'll say, oh, well, no, I'm actually not hungry. I just feel like I should probably eat breakfast. And that's exactly one of the strategies that we implement. Well, why don't you take your breakfast to work when you get in there at 9 and eat it then rather than 7 o'clock in the morning?
Listen to
that
body.
Delaying it. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that can be really helpful is putting a wedge in. And what I mean by that is if you're going to the kitchen or preparing something to eat because of that boredom or procrastination or some sort of emotion, is there something you could do to delay that eating episode?
The speed bump.
Yeah. And it's more, a speed bump is something different to me, but the wedge is put something in to delay it so that you give yourself a bit of time and space to figure out if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And so an example of a wedge might be, right, this task is really hard. I really want some cheese and biscuits. But what I'm going to do first is go and check the letterbox. Check the mail. And when I come back, if I still want it, I'm going to do it. Great. Or a wedge might be, I'm going to have that, but I'm going to have my cup of tea first.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to paint my nails. Or I'm going to go and pat the dog first. Or put the washing on the line. It could be anything. But if there is something physical you could do as a wedge between when you want that food and when you eat it. It just allows you to make sure you're eating for reasons you actually want to eat. Another tip we have is, again, probably easier said than done, and it's the concept of mindful eating, which can seem a little bit airy-fairy, a little bit fluffy, but is so valuable to experience as much as you can, because we do often find ourselves not just eating out of boredom and procrastination, but also eating on autopilot.
Mm.
And we can be munching into our meal and or a snack, and it's over before we've even realized what we're doing.
Yeah.
We don't actually get to absorb any of the satisfaction from it. And often this happens when we're on our screens or focused on other tasks. We might be wandering around the house. We might be multitasking. And it takes our attention away from the eating and doesn't allow us to really recognize that we're having an eating experience. So what we want you to try and do is, wherever you can across the day, with meals but also with snacks, is give yourself a chance to eat without distraction. And to do this, we encourage you to firstly actually serve your food yourself how you would want to serve it to a loved one.
Put it on a plate, take it to the table.
Yeah. If it needs a knife and fork, do it. If you're going for cheese and biscuits, get your biscuits, get your cheese, put your 6, 10, 30, I don't care, biscuits on a plate and serve it as a meal, so that your mind and your eyes can visually see, yeah, that's a lot of food. I'm going to be so satisfied when I eat that, compared to
stand up in the kitchen and eat it while you're watching the news.
And it's over before you even realize how many you've had or how satisfied you are.
And it's a great way to really tune in with how you're feeling, again, that hunger and fullness scale, because if you're only fixated on that meal you're eating, which is firstly really exciting, you're actually going to start to recognize when you start to feel full and when you start to feel satisfied a lot more quickly than if you were just standing up in the kitchen eating cheese and biscuits while you're cooking dinner for the kids.
Yeah, for sure. And wherever you can, try and sit down. Not at your desk or your office space.
Unless perhaps you have to.
Turn your laptop around or down, switch off your device, try and create a bit of a food haven. So where you're eating is not where you're working. Keep them separate wherever you can.
Yeah, Matt and I have been going to the balcony.
Nice.
To sit on the balcony.
Love that. You've got a beautiful balcony.
It feels like we're getting out of our office living space. We can actually take our lunch and sit outside on the balcony.
So good.
Yeah.
Love that. Great idea. So, yeah, wherever you can, sit down, respect your food, but also respect yourself. I think that's really important.
Definitely.
All right, our next one is just don't buy it. Look, if you were addicted to cigarettes, you really wanted to smoke all day, every day, you wouldn't have cigarettes in your cupboards, in your fridge, in your face.
No way. That'd be dangling the carrot.
So cruel to yourself. And so if you are somebody who is wanting to choose foods that are beneficial for your health and avoid some of those heavily processed foods that are less good for your health, just don't buy them. Don't buy the Tim Tams. You can't eat them if they're not there. And especially, I think, if you feel as though you're someone who struggles to stop at the portion that you want, that can lead to eating episodes where perhaps you're feeling guilty or regretful, remorseful, which is just not nice.
No, it's not a nice place to be.
And so the kind thing to do would be to just not have it there, not put yourself in that position where you're feeling vulnerable and leading to those negative emotions. So just don't dangle the carrot. And I think one thing I often talk about is the difference between being nice and being kind. And what's nice is to have food that we love and do the things that make us feel immediately good. But what's kind is actually to carry out behaviors that are really true to our deep goals and what we actually want to achieve. And if your best friend, your mum, your husband, your loved one was trying to clean up their eating and choose really healthy foods, it wouldn't be very kind to bring them around Tim Tams and Doritos and those foods that are tempting. What would be really kind is actually to prepare them a nice healthy meal that might nourish them and make them feel amazing.
Of course.
And I think we need to treat ourselves with that same respect that we would treat others that we love.
Yeah, that's a great one, Loz. I love that analogy.
Yeah, and I think mindful eating is, it starts well before we actually eat. And, you know, for me, it starts in the supermarket because I could easily roam the shelves and pick up all the delicious things that I'd want to eat constantly, but they're not the things that truly I want to eat
and
constantly.
That are good for you, yeah, and will make you feel
make
good.
Make us feel good, exactly. So try not to shop when you're hungry as well, because that can be hugely tempting. And remember what your goals and your values are, and try and avoid opting for those really quick highs where you know, get that nice quick hit. Mm-hmm. Try and opt for the kind long-term solution.
Yeah, and this is a time where we really do need to be kind to ourselves, because this is a really, really challenging time and a space that we've really never been before, any of us.
Yeah.
So this is really the time where we need to be kind to yourself and nurture your body as best that you can.
Yeah. And actually, interestingly, research has shown that visual exposure to high-calorie foods actually stimulates part of our brain that modulates our impulse control.
Mm.
So it can actually lead to increased cravings and overeating.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I know when there's like a cake at work or food that's just lying around, I keep going back for more all the time because I know it's there and I can see it. So it actually drives me to go and eat it. Whereas if it wasn't sitting on my bench or every time I went back to the office, I probably wouldn't even think about it.
No, not even in the first place. And look, this isn't about deprivation. We don't want you to feel as though you can never eat those foods
at all
that are delicious. We need to find balance, but I think it's really important that we put ourselves in a position where we're being kind to ourselves and ultimately, I guess, promoting food choices that are really aligned with what we want to achieve.
And if you've had a really crap day and those Tim Tams you think are going to make you feel really good, well, then enjoy them that day. As Lauren said, this is definitely not about deprivation.
No. But put them on a plate, go and sit down
and enjoy
on your balcony. Enjoy them.
Now, this one is my absolute favorite tip, and it's kind of been getting me through this isolation period.
Getting me through too, I must say.
And that is get creative with cooking. Because we've got so much spare time, which is fantastic in a way, because it's giving us a chance to firstly do a bit of spring cleaning and kind of some downtime, but also it's given me a real passion for finding new recipes and cooking with, you know, new recipes. I've just got out the pressure cooker. Like all these different things that I kind of have always been a bit of a creature of habit, and I make the same couple of things each week because they're easy and I like them and I enjoy them. But yeah, if you've bulk bought tin tomatoes or legumes, go online, have a look at some recipes and try and pick out some ones that you haven't made before.
Mm. I know. And I guess similarly, if you tried to buy normal pasta or normal something and you ended up with
chickpea pasta
or chickpea flour and you go, this is the only thing left. Yeah, it's kind of a good opportunity to expand your horizons.
Mm.
I've had a few texts from people saying, this is kind of cool. Like the supermarket shelves are empty and only thing left was pulse pasta, but I'd never tried it and I love it. This is great.
Yeah, it's great. One of our WhatsApp groups with my girlfriends, we will often send each other recipes, and that's really, really ramped up over the last couple of weeks because we're all sending each other lots of cooking inspo with all the spare time we've got.
Yeah, so good. Do you have any favourite websites that you go to for recipes?
Websites. So to be honest, I'll usually get a recipe and then
Modify it.
Yeah. So I can't really say there's any specific websites that I use. I quite like taste.com. Again, I do.
Taste has got such a massive database, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
I will often make changes. I also often like to add lots of things in rather than take things out. So, you know, when something maybe has one or two vegetables in it, I might add five, you know, and make it in bulk. And then we've got, you know, lots of healthy meals for the week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a good one.
One that I quite like is the Australian Healthy Food Guide.
Have you heard that? No, I haven't used that.
So they've got a magazine, but they've also got a website and heaps of recipes again. But they're all often the dietitian reviewed. So they've got kind of health star
rating,
equivalent rating, not the same health star that's on
packet I would hope Doritos. Not. Or Milo.
Yeah, or Milo. But they've also got categories. So if you're sensitive to FODMAPs or you've got a peanut allergy or you pre-diabetic or any concerns with different health conditions, they've got categories as well, which can be useful as well.
Great. And there's also some great food blogs and recipe people that devote their time to developing recipes on Instagram. So spend your time on social media wisely.
Definitely. Yeah, there's so much
out there. There's some great recipes out there.
And I guess our last point that's going to help us wrap this up, but also point to where we maybe are going to head with our next episode, is if you're bored and if you're eating because you're bored, what else could you do? And I spoke before about the wedge, and that's a really nice short-term moment to take when you're finding yourself eating in a non-hungry way. So that wedge might be, like I said, walking to the letterbox, putting the washing on, painting your nails, going patting the dog.
Find a new recipe.
Yeah, find a recipe that you might make tomorrow. Or it could be something so basic. Do 10 push-ups or jog on the spot for 5 seconds. Ideally, it's something enjoyable, so it's not.
Maybe not running on the spot.
maybe not something you're dreading, but try and do that before you even head to the kitchen or the cupboard. And the main reason for that is we just want you to recognize why you're eating. And if it's for reasons other than hunger, that's okay, but we want you to feel really in control and own that decision, so it's not followed with any sort of guilt or negative emotion afterwards.
Yeah.
Because we know that negative fuels negative. And once you've done it and you feel average about yourself,
you're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. And so putting that wedge in is useful, particularly short term. But we also want to think bigger. And if you're bored, what else could you be doing to fill your time? You know, it could be something really simple. I'm so obsessed with puzzles at the moment. Oh my gosh. Big shout out to Matt and Kate who've lent me one of their puzzles. It's the best thing ever.
I think I saw it downstairs.
Did you see?
It's huge.
Like a grocery store with like all this fruit, and it's like a dietitian's dream. It makes me so excited. Dave's really sad because I've totally abandoned him. Do you want to watch a movie? No. Do you want to get some food? Nope. I'm busy with my puzzle. But it could be reading a book. It could be doing something creative. You might plant some things, you know, play around in your garden. You might one of my girlfriends sent me a link to these number paintings where you can like become an artist, but somebody's guiding you. My sister's doing like fabric cross-stitchy like art stuff.
There's so many great things you can do.
And if
I've been getting really into the webinars.
Yeah,
online courses and webinars. Yes. And I know we're going to go into this in another episode, but there are so many things you can do that are really enriching for you mentally, but also can start to stimulate your passion and help you to work out, you know, what you want to do from here.
Mm. And like you said earlier, this is a hugely unfortunate situation, but one silver lining of the way that we're being forced to live at the moment is that a lot of us are finding ourselves with a lot of extra time, and we have spent probably years feeling really time poor.
Yeah.
And I would urge you all to take this opportunity to use that time wisely and do it in a way that's going to fuel you to, you know, drive your passion to perhaps set you up for the future. And I think that's something we'd like to talk about in a future episode, because we have found ourselves in this time still really, really busy because we are so driven by our passion, our business, but also future plans, that there's never a moment where there's nothing to do. And I think that is a lovely place to be.
Yeah, we're fortunate in that way.
Yeah, and we'd really love to help you find that in yourself as well. So I guess to sum it up, we're sorry that you're all stuck at home. We are feeling your pain and challenge.
We totally feel you.
But we also want you to make sure that you are looking after yourself during this time. So keep your routine. Check in with yourself as often as possible so that you're eating mindfully and for the reasons that you feel comfortable with. And use the time to get creative, both with food but also outside of food.
And with hobbies.
Yeah. And as always, if you have any questions, please chuck them our way. We're going to continue in isolation with social distancing to record this podcast.
We're socially distant right now while we're podcasting.
It's a bit sad. She's very far away.
I know.
But if you have any questions or any topics you want us to chat about, send them through. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks, guys.
And that's all we have time for this week. Thanks for listening in, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure you drop by and say hi on the Encore Nutrition website, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just search Encore Nutrition. We absolutely want to hear from you and encourage everyone to join in on the conversation. Now, it's important to say that while Lauren and Elise are very knowledgeable on the world of diet and nutrition, we always encourage you to speak with your medical expert to assure that the advice is right for you. And we'll be back next week to break down all things food, diet, nutrition, and lifestyle from Elise and Lauren and me here, just to make sure it all makes sense.